to the Sun City. Welcome to the Sun City. Welcome to the Sun City.
Sun City, make some noise.
From Alameda to Trans Mountain, down up in the Joe Battle. Better be prepared to meet these crazy ass Texas rattles. It's a battle, so tighten up your horse's saddle. Never leave my destiny up to a swing of a judge's gavel. Down to Juaritos, where the body count rises daily. Respect the streets, cause they made me and they always pay me. No te chiando a nosotros, no nos vale madre. No get too close, I'll knock you out like I was Escalante. Don't be amazed, I'm tearing up all the state. From Fundays on Monday.
All right, all right, all right. Chico Talks. Number... No, Jasmine?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Is. Nope.
Come on.
Sorry, there's too many to keep track of.
There are quite a few. This is number 20.
Okay.
By the way, I just wanted to give her a little test. see if she was, if she listens to the show or not.
Oh, I
don't know. We may need to have a talk.
I do listen to the show. It doesn't mean I keep track of how many there are. So I'm trying to keep track of how many Friends episodes there are.
That's not nice.
What's
I think
thing?
We're better than Friends.
Okay, yeah, sure. But then that means there are a lot more to keep track of. So
go ahead and pick up your mic, Jasmine. We can't hear you too well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Talk into it, like real close, like all you want to make out with it.
Ooh.
No, not
who's
that.
Who's using this
not
mic before
much.
Me?
Not that much. Not that much. None of us have any STDs. Anyway, let's introduce our guest. From okay, it's the El Corrido Project. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And we are with Kiko Rodriguez from the El Corrido Project. I'm not very great at Spanish, but...
That was pretty good.
Thank you. that's a tongue twister for
good
me.
Good job.
So tell us a little bit about this project. Tell us what you guys are all about. Who's involved?
This is a project done with in conjunction with one of the best kind of muralist and painters in town now, who started off as a street artist, is now in a museum and stuff.
Right.
Simi Alvarado. And last year, we were listening to a bunch of old records of corrido music, conjunto music, a lot of which started off in Texas along the border. And we just started talking about how people don't appreciate how that tradition, how old that tradition is and how it is kind of part of our culture.
Oh, definitely. Especially, mm-hmm. I mean, especially here. I mean... Every Sunday.
For sure.
For families across El Paso.
Exactly.
That is the tradition.
Exactly. And then we started talking about how, like with a lot of music, it's kind of gotten very commercialized and recently been taken over by what they call the narco corrido, which is obviously about, you know, all the violence and stuff.
Right.
But the original tradition was not about that. The original tradition was about communication, what's happening in your town, stories that have happened, you know.
Love.
So, mm-hmm. Love stories.
Love stories, yeah.
Criminal stories. But not exactly just narco violence,
right,
per se. And not, and even talking about heroes and villains in a way that's more objective. And it's just a very rich tradition that's been kind of whittled down into like this violent kind of gangster stuff, you know. And so we decided to do something on it. And I'm an accordionist. I play in bands here in town, and so I decided to write some corridos.
What bands do you play with?
I used to play with a band called Fuga.
Fuga,
for,
all
for
right,
like
yeah.
10 years, and then recently I did Frontera Bugaloo, which
is... Okay.
So I do a lot of cumbia, a lot of fusion, sure. A lot of all kinds of stuff.
Have you heard of Papaya Riot?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Really yeah. Great band.
Definitely. So I come from that tradition. I've been doing this right. For like 15 years already, 20 years, music here in El Paso. And so we just decided that we're going to do half art exhibit and half musical performance.
Okay.
And so each corrido that I wrote has a painting that kind of goes with it.
A corresponding painting, right? For the song.
A corresponding painting for the song.
For the song.
For the
How
song.
How long is the whole event in a whole?
Well, we're doing the big opening exhibit is next Thursday from okay. 6 to like 10 p.m. or something.
6 to 10.
Uh-huh.
Music and art from
music
6 to
art.
10.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
First exhibit. How many exhibits do you guys have?
I don't know how many he's going to do. I'm doing at least two, but this is the main one that we're putting together, you know, as kind of like the opening or whatever. I think it's going to be on exhibit there for a few weeks at least at that gallery.
Can you give us an example of something that we would see a piece and the song, how they correspond together?
We kind of did this thing where I haven't really seen like the most recent sketches or anything like that. But for example, I wrote one that is about the death that happened here at the Puente Negro, they call it, the Black Bridge, about 2 or 3 years ago. They shot somebody from Juarez, so he was 14 years old. For example, I did a corrido about that. You know, it's kind of a tragedy corrido. And I haven't really seen what he's going to do with that, but I imagine it's going to be pretty intense. You know, so you have everything from that to like... there's the stories of the civil rights movement that happened in El Paso in the 60s and 70s, which was very powerful, that I wrote just one corrido based on that. And that's five different struggles, housing, labor rights, education at UTEP, all in one song where I talk about each movement and what happened and all that. So I'm not sure how he's going to put that together. Kind of curious to find out, you know.
Yeah.
The only collaboration we had was the initial discussions and the concept and kind of like all of that stuff, and that was like last year in November, I think.
Really? Okay.
So it'll all be new to you, also. Mm-hmm. Go see it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, well, then let's backtrack a little bit. Then, how did this get started? How did the initial idea come up?
We love that tradition, and we were noticing that it's kind of losing its place in modern culture.
Right.
And so we thought this would be a cool way to kind of bring it back. If we write about things that have happened to us in our generation, things that have happened in the last 5 years in El Paso, for example, maybe people will relate to it. And then also if you have visuals, you have art and stuff that you can look at. We also thought, you know, it's an oral tradition to teach this way in music and visual arts.
Sure.
Without having to read a big document about what happened. You can kind of
hopefully
go through that exhibit and get a sense for like 10 different stories in one shot. So it's more of a visual and an oral experience, I guess. And so that's kind of the idea.
And then you proposed this to the city and the...
Right.
How did that happen?
They have what's called the Artist Incubator Program.
Okay. They give you a grant.
It's a grant. You have to apply. It's a pretty intense process. You have to present volumes of work, and you have to make a presentation in front of a panel and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And a big grant application, of course. And we were lucky enough to get awarded last year. So they actually funded the paintings and the actual studio recording.
The studio recording. So like all the materials for the paintings and
basically.
Did they set you up in a studio, or did they give you guys money to create your own studio? Yeah,
they give us the money. We have to show that we've used budgets before. We have to show a volume of work to prove that we know what we're doing. You know?
Sure.
But yeah, they give us the money, and then we can choose a studio to work at. You know, in my case, I worked at La Fez Studios in the Segundo Barrio downtown. Simi worked out of his studio. I also worked at Government Cheese Productions in Central. It's like an independent studio, you know. And
okay.
So, you know, and I did a lot of the composing on my own.
Right. So because it's recorded in the studio, is it going to be available after the exhibit is over?
Yes. That day we'll have free copies for everyone. So everyone who goes, you can get a copy. And then I'm going to upload it up onto the internet so people can be downloaded. It's basically going to be like a free music CD for people to check out.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And can anybody play this music?
Can anyone play
it? Well, that's okay. We have our own radio station, so... Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Anybody who wants to play it. You mean broadcast it.
Broadcast,
I thought you meant like play the accordion and stuff. Which actually, a lot of people do play accordion.
They do.
Yeah,
that's why I mentioned Papaya Riot, because I remember we went to we had our own bar hop deal where it was like a band hop, and like a bunch of bands went and played, and Papaya Riot played. They were the first ones that played, and I remember distinctly the accordion player. That was the biggest thing. I was like, wow.
For sure.
They make it sound so awesome, and they have an accordion player. It was so much fun.
Yeah, the music scene here is definitely getting a lot more diverse. I think that's a great thing, you know, for El Paso.
I think more bands should use more intricate and interesting instruments
because
it does make for some great sounds.
Oh, yeah, and we have a big tradition. Juarez and El Paso, a huge jazz and R&B tradition. One of the first Mexican-American songs that ever got on radio came out of El Paso, you know. So we have a big tradition, I think, just people, there are not enough of us know about it, you know.
Right.
We don't study it. We don't have like the 100 years of history that teach us about all those people, those great artists and stuff. So I think that's important to bring up.
What about another project about that, about bringing up that history? It'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That would be pretty intense because there were some really big teachers here. Don Tosti, he was Don Tostado. He was from the Segundo Barrio. He was a bass player.
Uh-huh.
And he played with like the Glenn Miller Orchestra and a bunch of
really
big time jazz cats all over the U.S. And then ended up coming back to El Paso and starting his own band. And wrote Pachuco Boogie, which was the first kind of like top Billboard hit for a Mexican-American in the U.S.
Right.
So that's all, you know, El Paso history and stuff.
Can I ask you where you get your inspiration from on a personal level? You know, coming up with all of these ideas, this music. What is it about it that interests you?
I needed, when I was younger, I needed a way to express myself, you know, for sure. In high school, I started off with punk rock and, you know, hardcore stuff, you know, heavy metal, like a lot of people. And then eventually I kind of grew into what my family listens to. And there's a big tradition in my family of music, but none of us took it up because it's very hard to make it as a musician.
Sure.
So I kind of got inspired to really have a go at it and try hard to really perform and
become an artist,
you know. So it comes from the family and from the community I'm from. Definitely a lot of it does. So that's what I write about. That's what I play. You know, I like playing happy dance music, and I also make some pretty heavy political music. I do a little bit of everything, you know.
All right. And as far as your history with other bands are concerned, did you just go out and like try out for these bands, or did you guys all come together as a collective? How, like with Frontero Boogaloo and...
Well, that one I kind of started as a... That one I formed myself.
Okay.
Because I wanted to do it like a side, like a gig band.
Right.
You know, making money on the side, and it just kind of took off on its own. Like, we started off with like 4 players and
right.
became like 9 players or something. Fuga was much more of a collaboration of a bunch of people that got together and decided like...
Was that involved with... Were you guys involved with the Fuga Radio as well? Like the...
Fuga Radio?
Yeah, there was like a radio... There was like a radio station sort of... Fuga.
I don't think so.
No?
Not that I can recall, I know.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Taking it back to the project, what is the ultimate goal? You know, when you people go out and see this, what is it that you want them to take out of it?
We want people to remember that we have a lot of artistic tradition in the Mexican-American community, I guess, that gets overlooked because it's not considered. You can't study it in college yet, for example. You can't major in corrido or conjunto music or mariachi music. But those are the traditions that are here, and they're very, very difficult to learn how to play, very difficult to use an enormous amount of music theory. It takes at least 10 years, 15 years to really master it. These are big-time traditions from El Paso that, and from the borderland in general, that I think it's important for us to appreciate. And so we want to really bring that out. And also that you can learn not just by reading things on the internet and by Facebook or texting, that you can go back to this old school thing of like listening to live music or watching or seeing an art exhibition that teaches about things, subjects that are difficult or interesting, you know. And just being there in person with other people, having that interaction with other people, communicating in that way. You know, I guess we want to kind of bring that back a little bit. I know for Simi, like he was a street artist for a long time, and you know, he comes from that tradition of like putting stuff up on the walls, and he does massive murals. I mean, huge,
right.
you know, street murals that I mean are going to be there for a long time. And the same for me. I'm a performer. I've been performing for a long time. So we want to bring back that live kind of element. Like you're there in the moment. You're going to see it that day and that's it. You know, you're going to see that band that day and then it's gone. And it's about what you take in, how you learn in those ways, I guess. I don't know.
Did it take you that long to learn the corrido music?
Like, for sure.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And are you still learning to this day?
Yeah, it's not really, you know, I'm more of a, I did two punk albums and a couple of other things, you know, for a long time. So
give us a little bit of your musical history.
Yeah,
From when you started. Like, what started?
We started off in Austin High School, and we had a band called Secondhand Human. We were part of the very vibrant punk scene in El Paso that existed in the 90s. I mean, it was huge here. It was
at the drive-in.
Yeah, for sure. We played with those guys. I mean, I played with a lot of those people when I was like 16 years old.
Yeah.
Big scene. Remember, this was, nobody had cell phones back then. You know, there was no texting. There was no Facebook.
There was the king of beepers.
Yeah.
There you go. That was
Yeah. It was about word of mouth. Yeah. Passing a flyer to somebody out, talking to them about the show, telling them to come down. Like, it was much more interactive. And that's how we started off, you know. And then after that, I kind of felt like I was neglecting my Mexican side, you know. I feel like there's a lot of pressure here to just, like, embrace your American side. And
sure.
Yeah, to forget that you come from a different country entirely.
And that it can be a great thing. You don't have to divide yourself up. You can just embrace all of it, you know, and be proud of all of it, you know. And so that's when I did Fuga, and Fuga was all in Spanish, and it was a lot of cumbia and samba and salsa and all that kind of music. We toured all over Latin America and, you know, had two albums with that. Did really well here in El Paso for a long time.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then we broke up. My sister decided to get married and have children, and so I started another band.
So this was in collaboration with your sister?
My sister was the lead singer in Fuga. Another man named Leo Martinez was a great guitar player and vocalist as well. We're all from El Paso. You know, we ended up, I think we would do tours from San Francisco all the way to Houston and back in a van. I mean, we were doing all that kind of at the drive-in stuff that they got famous for. But a lot of bands from El Paso did that.
Did the same thing.
Yeah,
and
for
did
sure.
Did you find that your experience out there, were people open to this new style of music?
They loved it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, in El Paso, like, I think it's hard for us to appreciate what we have here, but in other places, they thought we were from Brazil or from Colombia. They thought we were from Europe, you know.
Well, and then the great thing about it is watching people get up and dance. That's the fun part. Like, I mean, I'm sure you saw it all the time, right? They hear the music come on and they're like, oh man, I can move to this.
Exactly. That's a big deal in El Paso, you know, getting people back up to dance, teaching people how to dance and all that stuff, you know,
But I remember touring, like, when Radio La Chusma went on tour for a little bit. I went up with them to the Inn of the Mountain Gods one time. And even out there, they got people on the dance floor just listening to the music. They didn't necessarily know how to dance to it, but they were out there dancing anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the one thing, like, about, like, that I feel, like, about our culture and our music here in El Paso.
Yeah.
We get people on the dance floor.
Exactly. And it's a dying art.
It is.
I toured Austin, LA, all that stuff. And it's like a lot of people don't really get up and dance anymore. It's kind of going out. So there's some traditions, I think, that we really need to keep, you know. And,
sure.
Wakes people up, you know, and keeps you alive. You're not just there to drink or get messed up. Like, you actually go and want to participate in the music or whatever, you know.
So when you applied for the grant to create this project, what was the response from the city? When it was a city funded grant, right?
Yeah.
Did you find overall that they were supportive, or they didn't, you know, what was their reaction?
I think they've been very supportive. I think it's been really opening up with the city. I know that they've been offering those grants for a while, but like I kind of barely found out. A lot of us are just barely finding out about it. They have very limited funding, of course. I encourage, you know, anyone who's listening to support city people who can fund more of the arts, because that's what El Paso has, a lot of artists, so many. And I don't know why we don't have to import anything. I mean, we've got painters, we've got musicians, we've got actors, we've got everything here. We just need more investment.
We do. You know? We need a lot of that. I mean, it was very sad that when I found out that Viva El Paso was canceled for the summer.
Right.
That's disappointing. I mean, we can't find some kind of investor that can put some money into it.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, that's something, like, we talk about it all the time. they want to invest, they want to bring Starbucks and like
sure.
stuff that every city has. And it's like, well, you know what, we don't have to be like every other city, you know. We should invest in the people here
sure.
who are doing, you know,
it's
plays,
true,
you know.
We also have to consider that El Paso is a very unique city, especially considering our poverty rate. I mean, it's harder for that sort of funding to exist if there's nobody there to fund it. So, I mean, who's going to, you know, bring up Viva El Paso again if there's nobody there who can put up the money for it? It's a difficult, like, everyone here is in a difficult circumstance.
Sure.
Definitely. I agree with that. But, you know, we put how many hundreds of millions into a baseball stadium,
that's
you
true.
Know? I think there's choices to be made. I think there are people here who have the power and the money, but
to help out,
they want to go a certain direction, you know, and they think that if we get more malls and Starbucks and stuff, it's going to put us on the map, or it's going to make the economy better. But I'm the opposite. As a homegrown musician, it's like, you know, what's going to make things better is investing in people and investing in people's projects here.
Right,
you know?
Investing in arts especially. I had a friend who visited me from Rochester. She'd never been anywhere east of the Mississippi River, I mean west of the Mississippi River, and she fell in love with the city because of its culture. Like she said she had never been anywhere in all of her places, the cities that she's visited, she's never been anywhere that had such a colorful culture. And
exactly.
That felt so good to hear, just somebody from an outside perspective.
I get that all the time from people out of the town. Like, this place is great. You speak two languages. You created your own language. Like,
sure.
Like, you have all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
I think people here don't realize it, you know, and even some of our city leader, some of the leadership out there doesn't realize it, and they keep importing stuff. And let's bring in something out, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Just start investing in the young generation here and in their art.
We have a lot of that, too. And what I've been seeing, because we're about to launch the radio station in August, and we have about 15 local bands that have fantastic music. That, I mean, stuff that's on a par with the greatest indie music that's out there right now. That's at Coachella, yeah. or at what's the one that's in Austin?
South by Southwest,
South by Southwest
Austin City
or
Limits.
Austin City Limits. We have competitive artists that are, if not better than those artists that are performing out there, here in El Paso.
Right.
It's just a matter of support.
Exactly. And that's, I guess that's what we're trying to garner. But at the same time, I think people should realize, like, we really have some great talent here in El Paso. And like you guys, what you guys are doing, I mean, that just shows it right there.
It's difficult. I think it takes a whole community. It takes venues
right.
to understand the musicians. It takes the musicians understanding the venues. It takes business leaders. It takes educators. It takes a whole community of people to make a decision and say, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to really invest in the generations here, even if it costs money. Like I said, we spend money on all kinds of other things,
yeah.
right? It wouldn't be that hard to really invest into a big center or a couple venues or something to really, you know, more recording studios, you know, more guitar lessons, you know,
yeah.
stuff that helps kids like get into music. I got into music and I was in the fourth grade and I studied violin most of my life because there's no other option. Had there been guitar, accordion, other stuff, I would have done it. I would have gone to college for it even, but we don't have that yet. You know, so I think, and the same thing for muralism, the same thing for actors,
art.
The same thing, you know, media, there should be more independent media sources
sure.
out there like you guys. There should be funding for you guys. There should be
sure.
support and infrastructure for you guys, because that's, and if we all work together in that way, you know, I think we could do something.
I think we can. And I think that's the thing right there, is getting all the independents together to say, hey, we need some funding, and then talking to El Paso about it. Like you guys did, and saying, look, this is what we have. This is the product. And this is how we're going to present it to El Paso as a group, as a community. That's the biggest thing. We need to be a community. Before we can be a big city, we need to be a community. And I think that's what's kind of lacking in El Paso.
That was actually my next question. What is the community response been to all of this? You know, the turnout, what is it that you expect from the community?
Well, for example, when I started with Fuga, everyone thought, wow, you can't be in a band that sings in Spanish, you know. You can't be mixing the languages, you know. You should sing in English. You should do rock and roll. And no one's going to respond, you know, to what you're doing. And we had it took a while, but we had a big response. By the time I did Bugalú, I mean, we were getting, you know, 400 people at our shows with, like, no media,
nothing.
No radio, no nothing. You know, what we didn't have was venues, good venues, sure, with good sound systems, you know, good, you know, infrastructure for the, those kinds of scenes. Like that band's, we, you know, already kind of destroyed it and moved on. A lot of it dealing with the fact that there's no infrastructure for me to work. I mean, where am I going to take 300 people?
Yeah.
You know, and what kind of business deals can I work out locally if the venues are, or if the venues are all corporate or they're all like from out of town, there's nothing I can do as a local musician, even if I do bring people. I mean, I've sold places out and the business don't really treat us with respect, you know? So there's that component that, that people's mindset have to change a little bit. But I would say in that sense, it's been bad. I think that the people with money and power here have a kind of negative view of local people coming up. I notice that a lot with bands because, for example, they'll pay a lot of money to fly in somebody that nobody knows.
Sure.
And then while there's a really popular band right in front of them that everyone knows, and they won't give them the same, you know, non-support, kind of respect, you know. So there's a little bit of that going on. But the people themselves, I think the audience has responded really well. I have a hard time convincing venues and stuff sometimes. I'm like, dude, people are going to come. People love this stuff. In fact, they'll come every Friday if you support us. But it's got to go both ways. Like, they got to support the artists, you know. We have to live somehow. Like, you know, we can't be playing for peanuts and all that stuff, you know, especially if we bring people.
And it's starting to change, though. I have noticed a little bit of change. I mean, a few venues have jumped on board with the local scene, and they're starting to garner more support for the local scene. But it's just starting to happen, though.
Right. That's true.
And,
that's true.
And we had it before. I think that we did have it before with when you guys were coming up and at the drive-in and like with Cheese and Fixed Idea and, well, Chusma was a little bit later, but I think that we had it and then we just lost it and it was gone.
It was very independent.
A long time. You're right.
It was very independent.
But now it's starting to come back. It's starting to, a lot of the venues are starting to pick up, like Lowbrow and, and Tricky Falls, and they're starting to pick up on the local scene. And I think that those guys, I think they're going in the right direction. They just need to help El Paso go in the right direction. I think they need to get more communication between stuff like us, like the independent radio and stuff like that, getting us all together, and we can create some local event that's just going to be gigantic.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
that's a local event.
And you know, not to call people out, but like Neon Desert, for example, they put the local bands on at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is great.
Right.
Great. You know, I appreciate. I mean, I did it. You know, but they should put one local band. Whoever's been doing great that year and has a following, give them a chance. Give them a chance at 6 or 7 o'clock. Pay the bands. Pay the local bands.
Sure.
You know, I've heard that they don't pay the local bands that they hire and stuff. So
it's kind of like a battle.
You're going to set up a model already, a precedent of doing the same thing that all the other places have done. And
if
you're going to work in this city and do festivals here, you have a responsibility to support the local
artists.
The
community.
Especially if
You're homegrown like Neon Desert. Neon Desert's homegrown.
Right.
That was like El Paso grown. They should garner to the local music, and I
not all of it, but at least have make space
a little
for us.
Bit,
you know, make space for us, because otherwise, what are we fighting for? I mean, where are we out there gigging every weekend? You know,
I agree.
You know, that kind of
completely.
Thing. So that's just an example, but I think it happens in other venues and programs around the city. So that's just a little call. I know I've been doing this for a long time, so I kind of have been around the block, and I just see it happening like every generation. And I'll find a band that I love, and I'm like, and then they'll tell me, no, this and this happened to me, and I'm like, oh man, again, really? That happened to me 10 years ago. Like when is the city gonna wake up a little bit to, you know?
Well, I on that note, we do have we're out of time, but I can say, though, that big things are going to be coming up pretty soon, especially on the Rios front, because Rios Radio is all about the local music, and that's all we care about. That's all we care about getting out there. And
that's great.
We don't have a lot of money.
You don't need it.
But you know what we can do? We can broadcast you guys on the air.
Right.
And that's what we can offer.
Okay.
Not only
good.
That, we also want to start a new thing. That it's just about to start. I know that people have talked about it for quite a couple of years. It's the September is the ninth month, and then the 15th, 915.
Okay.
915 day is the El Paso day.
Okay.
915 day. We want to have a 915 day and a big event, music, art, everything.
Right.
On that day.
Awesome.
And we invite every local business in El Paso to have a 915 day at their place as well. So it's just like one giant party in El Paso. No matter where you go, they're celebrating the day. 915.
Awesome.
So
I like it.
We're gonna start getting that going, and I invite all local bands, local businesses, local artists to be involved, such as yourself.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think that might garner some better attention as far as local art music is concerned.
Yeah. If we spent just like another $1 a week on local stuff, I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that are being invested into our artists, our venues, our local places, and that's what the city needs. We don't need more Starbucks and more malls and stuff like that. I mean,
exactly.
Every city's got that. Every city's got that. We don't have to be like everybody else, you know? That's what I feel.
So how can people get a hold of you guys?
Well, Simi has a site online, I believe, and he's on Instagram and Facebook, of course. You can look him up, Simi Alvarado. I don't have his exact address, but I think if you just Google that, you'll get to him. For me, the same thing, Kiko Rodriguez. Frontera Bugalú still has a lot of online music. Fuga still has music online. And you can reach me through Facebook as well, and Instagram as well. Just kind of Google that in El Paso, of course, because there's a couple of Rodriguez's in the world. Yeah. But just put in El Paso and we pop up, you know. Yeah. And then, of course, this event next Thursday, we invite everybody to come out. It's a free event starting at 6 o'clock downtown at the Purple Pop-Up Gallery.
Purple Pop-Up Gallery.
Purple
that's,
Pop-Up
that's
Gallery.
That's a mouthful right there.
Yeah.
From 6 to like 9 or 10, and we got good music that's going to happen. I'm going to perform. And, of course, Simi's exhibiting his new artwork. So it's really exciting.
All right. So thank you for joining us. I believe that we're going to play a little bit of music, local music for everybody after this.
Great.
And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And keep us up to date on your exhibits and whatnot. And we'll be in touch about the 915 event. That's the big one.
Let me know.
So we'll probably have a big venue that we're going to do it out of, but we're going to invite all of El Paso to celebrate the 915 music art event.
Sounds great.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thank you guys for joining us on Chuco Talks number 20. We'll see you guys next week back at the PI. And
Shout out to Aceitunas.
Aceitunas.
This is my first time here, and it was pretty
Aceitunas,
great.
Aceitunas. Yeah, we were at Aceitunas, guys. It's about to close right now, but if you guys got to come out here and enjoy some drink specials, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks.